or the Gimel Tevis Wednesday night, or the Gimel Tevis. Okay, so Ari Stern's going to get a big laugh out of this. She's the one what we learn every year. So every year, right after we have the halacha of what to do with the leftover sen oil, and he always smiles because he remembers it from the year before, and this is going on many years. So here's the big story. We know about the half hour. Everybody knows the hour. There and would have used for a hair. That's all term. It's hooked to the middle. So, and not allowed to be used for anything else, not even for Erev Shabbos. And someone, now again, we don't use, if you have Ner Lamor, so then really Shabbos would be the only use. I mean, if people use Ner Lamor, it's not really for cooking oil, so it would have Shabbos use because we don't use oil naturally for our life. The halacha was said, and the emphasis was said because they used oil for everything, for their lights. But we have electricity, so it's a question of maybe Shabbos lights. But if you have oil, that's not just what they call Ner Lamor. It's regular oil. It could be used for cooking also. So then there is a possibility that you would use it for cooking. So stories like this. So what would they be there for if I was hooked to the mitzvah? So good. What's there and would... And then we're talking about that it went out before the half hour, so you assume it's hooked to the mitzvah. So the wicks, of course, are hooked to the mitzvah too, and you can't use the wicks for Shabbos wicks if you want to use them, because Shabbos wicks is there to be the henna from, and it's a different mitzvah, and it's a different type of mitzvah. So if you would want to use it, you could not. The oil, now we are mar that since we put it in, and unless we speak out with a t'nai, so everything's hooked to the mitzvah. So we let it burn more than a half hour, and we really do intend that it should be pirsum enisa. And we possibly like yesh omrim that like this shita that really we consider it all hooked to mitzvah. So when that's the practice, we'll make tanoim. They're going to use it. We don't a little oil by us is not going to make or break us, you know, in the financial department. So we just unmax everything the mitzvah. So then what do you do with the leftover? That's the question. You can't use it. So this. There is a minhag to make a chassidus, like even a ceremony, and they say certain kapitel chtilim or tfilos, and they're burning it, and some save it for Pesach, I don't know. But the maker of dinner, it doesn't have kedusha, it's tashmishe mitzvah, not tashmishe kedusha, and then you just have to you throw it out, and you just have to make sure it's not thrown out, but derech bizayon. Everybody's used to the idea that you double wrap something or even single wrap it with oil. What you would do, I don't know if it's a good idea to pour oil down the toilet anyway, but you shouldn't anyway. That would be considered like a bizayon, and you can get rid of it, but there is a minhag to burn it, so there you have it. You burn the wick, so you throw it out. If you think of the wick, really not the oil, so you can throw it out, but you have to not make sure it's not treated with bizayon. Okay. What? I was for sure you could use. It's not hooked to the mitzvah, so. Okay. He's talking about enticements of the Yetzer Hara, and really we're in the middle of a discussion, very interesting discussion. He sort of goes off on a tangent, but not really, because he's talking about the Yetzer Hara and what the Yetzer Hara does to a person. And he's in the middle of discussing intelligence. And how intelligence and brains and smartness is a double-edged sword. And on one hand, it's wonderful. And the Chavis HaLovis, in fact, stresses in his Hakdama that he wants to be aware of Hashem and knowledge of Hashem and awareness of Hashem, not in a simple way, but in a sophisticated way with Seichel. On the other hand, he says, there's a danger that if you... You know, if you have what is called emuna pshuta, I can call it that, we call it that, but emuna pshuta is not so pashut, but what we call emuna pshuta, you don't deal with questions, really. You're samech on the mesora. That's really what it is more. But if you deal with things yourself, which God of the Chazalotas prefers that you and encourages, but he said there's a danger there, because then you can come across a question that you can't answer. And if you, in that realm, you're in the world of ideas, you're in the world of questions and answers, you're in the world of understanding, when you bump up against something that you don't understand, then there's a danger. He doesn't say it obviously. The Chavis HaLevavot, this was very early, but this is what Ramchal starts off Das Tfunos with. So I'm speaking out, it's not the Chavis HaLevavot. This is what Ramchal starts off Das Tfunos with, that there's three of the animamins that he really doesn't understand. He doesn't understand them. And he says that, of course, he believes. And they do. That you work with handling things, but then you say, and if I can't understand this, then I believe it totally, and I have no sphakis that it's true. That's what Chavis HaLevavot is saying. That's not easy to pull off. The danger there. Ramchal does that in the beginning of Das Tfunos. He says, I don't get these three of the 13, but I believe 100%, but I don't get them. And then he spends the rest of Das Tfunos explaining the inner mechanisms of the three that he doesn't understand, that he does understand it, and you can understand it, and that's what the Das Tfunos is a sefer explaining the three animamins that he didn't really understand. He wrote in the first Hakdama, but he ended the sefer, he does understand it. But this is a double-edged sword, the Chavis HaLevavot says. And I'll just quickly say the two lines, and then we'll continue, Be'ezus Hashem. V'nomar, or v'nemar, ki ha-chokhma, shemanhigim osa al-darka, if it's used properly, it's wonderful. It's the balm for all sicknesses. It's the great healer. It's wonderful. It's light. It's clarity. It's understanding. There's nothing like it. But if you are talked into it by your Yetzirah, and he says, and then very, very smart people, so they don't understand fully, and then their seichel gets off the track, and tia madve kolel, it's the worst type of illness. Then their intelligence becomes a very self-inflicting wounds, and it makes them go off the derech and have crazy hashkafas and wrong hashkafas, maybe not crazy but wrong, and they question things that they shouldn't question, and they spin off all sides of all types of, we see this nowadays, B'chush, I wouldn't mention names, of course, but really, really big people. I'm not talking about small people who write blogs, I'm talking about big people, really big people, but then they veer off somehow because of their intelligence and because they get to a point, and that's what Chavis HaLevavot says, it really is a very dangerous thing. If you have it and use it properly, it's the greatest thing in the world. And if you don't use it properly, it's an illness that's pervasive, she'en lo refuah, and it's very hard to climb out because you're stuck in a place. Lo arucha, there's no refuah. That's why Chach Torah is compared to a fire, because fire makes light and fire burns. On one hand, it can and it does enlighten you. If you go off track, so he's going to explain how, because he, you know, again, he is definitely encourages, yes, delving into things and yes, understanding it. And not to shy away from it. He's just explaining the dangers here. It could be light, it could be a fire. Kmo shenemar ki va'esh Hashem nishbat. Va'omar yamtel al rishon pachem esh v'gofres. Va'omar tilo eskrenerot b'shol v'ya b'libi ke'eres otzur ba'atzmosai. And so you have that, I say double-edged sword, it's called the... You have to be very, very careful when you use your chachma to understand things and to delve into things, realize that you're really in a very dangerous place. Of course, the other way could also be dangerous, because mechan mesora and your soul mechan sort of, and then someone could like awaken you and then you feel lost. So very, very dangerous, and that's the point here of what he's trying to do in Bichra Maisa. is he's trying to cut off the Yetzirah at the pass, so to speak, by alerting you to all the dangers, all the possibilities of the Yetzirah. But you said if you're smart, then you can answer the Yetzirah, that you're immune. The Yetzirah has a special plan for you, because you're in a danger, and he'll find a can't answer, and then he sort of got you. And you have to know how to combat that.